From KCRW, I'm Kim Masters, and this is The Business. A year ago, we checked in with people who had lost their jobs when coronavirus shut down Hollywood. Now, with the world starting to open up, we talk to those folks about how they made it through and how working in the entertainment industry may have changed for good.
You know, what's funny is that, like, since COVID happened, the pace on set has changed dramatically. And, like, you physically cannot be in the same space as someone else. And I think we have a greater respect for our crew and the craft and understanding that quality takes time.
Cinematographer Mario Contini and others, a costumer, a showrunner's assistant, an actor, and a filmmaking team, reflect on the strange year that was in the industry and tell us what their jobs look like now. But first on the news banter, Disney deals theater owners another blow. Stick around, it's The Business from KCRW. I am joined by my colleague in banter, Matt Bellany. Hello, Matt.
Hi there.
So let me just start out by addressing a confusing situation. We talked about Chloe Zhao, the director of Nomadland, last week, and blowback in China to certain remarks that had been attributed to her. We had read, and an Australian publication had reported, that she had said, "America is now my country." That was subsequently corrected. She said, "America is not my country." Big difference. So I want to make it clear that apparently the Chinese government objected to that, but maybe that's not what she said. And there was another quote that was attributed to her of her saying that in China, there are lies everywhere. That was to a small film quarterly. That article where she reportedly said that had been changed. Those remarks somehow were not there anymore. We're not too sure what happened there, but clearly, as we talked about last week, it's very important to Disney that Chloe Zhao's The Eternals, a Marvel movie coming up, should play in China. And so there's every incentive to try to make peace and not have problems. So let me just start with that. And speaking of making peace, Matt, let's talk about Warners for a minute. Warners, as you remember very well, shocked the industry last year by announcing with no warning whatsoever that it was taking its entire 2021 film slate, throwing it on their streaming service, HBO Max, the same day they would open in theaters if they could open in theaters. This went over, as you know, like a very, very heavy lead balloon with the industry. People were incredibly upset at being blindsided that way and concerned. Christopher Nolan spoke out about how this was not understanding the business and destroying the model. Lots of noise around that. Cineworld, the theater chain that they operate, Regal, has now said that they have a deal with Warners for the 2022 movies and that those will get a 45-day exclusive window. And, you know, Universal doesn't have, that's a generous window. It's not the 90 days that you used to have for exclusive theatrical runs, but compared to what some of the studios are getting and demanding now, it's also pretty long. However, there's some extra language in that announcement. And I know Warners wasn't quoted, just the executive from Cineworld. There's some words in that announcement that make me wonder, is it all that it appears to be?
Yeah, they have this term with certain provisions as a qualifier as to the 45-day window. So I'm not sure what that exactly means.
Yes, and what Warners are those? Talking. We wonder.
Yeah. It could mean that they institute some kind of box office threshold for that 45 days as the Universal deal is, or maybe it's, you know, they reserve the right to put some things on the service, maybe some of the smaller movies a little earlier. I don't know. But the bottom line here is that the fact that we're even talking about 45-day window as a good thing for theaters just indicates how much has changed in a year of this pandemic. It used to be that even discussing changing the theatrical window was just a third rail, could not do it. The theaters would ban you. Now you've got one of the largest chains putting out a press release trumpeting the fact that they've got a 45-day window. I mean, that is just an extraordinary change. It's also a bit of a backtrack from Warner's earlier stance, because when they announced they were putting all the 2021 movies on HBO Max day and date, they said that, you know, we don't know what we're doing beyond this. This is for 2021. We'll reevaluate in the future. And, you know, most observers, you and I included, said, okay, they want to do this forever, but they're going to see how it plays out. And the talent backlash was so overwhelming that I think that really made a difference and caused them to reevaluate this and say, okay, you know what, maybe we shouldn't do that again.
Yeah, I do know from my own reporting that they were running around to talent in the early going of the backlash saying, don't worry, we're not doing this in 2022 for all those people, important people who had 2022 film releases and were like, are you going to do this to me? So the answer is they paid a lot of money to calm a lot of nerves and now they're doing this. Meanwhile, Disney, on the other hand, while Warner's may or may not be giving something to the theater owners, Disney may be taking away because they have moved a very big movie out of a May release, which is disappointing, of course, for theater owners that were hoping for a relief at last. And with a couple of these big movies also, they are going to put them on their Disney Plus service. They're going to upcharge $30 a pop, which is not nothing. And maybe people would rather just go to the movies and enjoy being out if they are safely able to do so. But that is not what the theater owners wanted to hear.
No, I mean, some of them are even going public saying how much of a kick in the teeth, stab in the back, choose your metaphor this is, because Disney is the big studio. It's what all these theater owners are waiting for when they reopen is these big Disney blockbusters. And the first one, the big comeback to the movies party, was supposed to be in early May with Black Widow, the Marvel movie. And now there isn't a big movie until currently Memorial Weekend with A Quiet Place 2, which is a Paramount movie. And then Disney will have Cruella that weekend as well. Yet that one will also be Disney's premium video on demand as well as in theater. So, you know, it's really an interesting move here because what it shows is, first of all, Disney does not believe that theaters will be fully open around the world in early May. And, you know, they believe that moving to July gives it a better chance of performing around the world, which may be true because, you know, the U.S. at this point is actually reopening a little bit quicker than some of the other parts of Europe where the vaccine rollout hasn't been as smooth. So, you know, they're looking into the summer months and saying, okay, maybe July makes more sense. But from a business perspective, the fact that Disney is going to premium video on demand for both Cruella and Black Widow, A, to me, suggests that the experiments Disney has done with premium video on demand within Disney Plus for Mulan and for Raya and the Last Dragon have been successful for them. And we don't know, they're not being transparent about the revenue, but the fact that they're doing it for two big summer movies suggests that it is working for them and it is meaningful revenue. And I think that it really sends a message that the days of the, you know, Disney adhering to this theatrical window are really over.
Yeah, the question is to what degree. And I'm not sure I accept that it shows that the experiment of upcharging for these movies is successful. I mean, I think they're testing it and they have tested it previously with two things. That one thing that was sort of branded with Mulan, but Raya is a whole new thing. And, you know, this is a chance to try it with a really big movie and see what happens. So even if they weren't maybe impressed with the results from the, you know, less gigantic no-brainer movies, this is a chance to see what happens with that at a time when maybe they feel they need to get it going into theaters and they still want to try and see what happens if they do it with the streaming service.
You know, I have a 5-year-old and my own personal test case here. It's very interesting to see how a 5-year-old reacts when Disney Plus, his favorite service, he's able to go on there all the time, click on a tile, watch the movie, watch parts of a movie, come back to it. Everything in it is accessible to him. All of a sudden, he clicks on Raya and there's a prompt to pay money. And you know what? He doesn't like that. He wants the movie right away. And that is sort of a brilliant aspect of putting this premium video on demand within the Disney Plus universe. Kids want to watch what they want to watch. And parents will often, in my case, very often, do whatever their kids want and pay $30, even though I really didn't want to.
Bummer for you, but I can see why you would give in.
I will say I'm very excited that the new Pixar movie is going directly to Disney Plus without an upcharge. Luca, the summer movie, they're putting that directly on Disney Plus without an upcharge. And, you know, it's interesting they did that and didn't include it in the premium video on demand.
Well, we don't know if that's a vote of no confidence or what, but hopefully your kid will like it. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Bellany, former editorial director of The Hollywood Reporter. Coming up after a short break, we check in with workers from across the industry who lost their jobs when the pandemic hit. You're listening to The Business from KCRW. This is The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. A year ago, our producer, Caitlin Parker, put out calls to people across the entertainment industry to ask them how their lives had changed when the pandemic shut down Hollywood. We heard from folks feeling varying degrees of alarm naturally at not knowing how long they'd be without work. This week, we're checking back with those people, and we want to thank them for updating us on their lives now and sharing their reflections on the past year.
Hi, I'm David Salcedo. I'm a Los Angeles-based actor. A year ago, it seems like so long ago now, I was about to celebrate my 10th year in the industry as an actor, looking forward to what the new year was going to bring to my career, obviously. And of course, you know, we all know what happened.
Hi, my name is Matt McCree. I worked on season 4 of Mr. Robot and then picked up a job at an audience coordination company due to lack of work and then got laid off as the lockdown started.
Hello, my name's Monica Haynes. About a year ago, I was working on a project. Friday the 13th was the day I was actually told 1 year ago to put my tools down and take about a week off. Well, the production company decided what they were going to do. The following week, I was informed that they were not coming back up and I was out of a job.
Hello, my name's Mario Contini. Thanks so much for having me back. Last year I was a working cinematographer, and I still am today. Thankfully so, because I was quite concerned about the stability of this job in the industry and where things were going.
We also heard from a filmmaking team. Last year they recorded together. This year they sent in separate dispatches.
I'm Christina Beck, writer, director, and actress. This time last year, I was wrapping up a film shoot with my filmmaking buddy, Beth Dewey, along with teaching an advanced directing course at LMU that then went online.
I'm Beth Dewey. I'm a filmmaker. And 1 year ago, I was shooting B-roll of something I'd never seen before or since, and that is empty freeways in downtown Los Angeles.
For Dewey, those empty freeways soon meant an empty savings account.
Well, the life of an independent filmmaker can be tenuous anyway. And when the pandemic hit, my income streams were greatly reduced. But of course, the cost of living in LA remained high and I burned through my savings. And I honestly do not know what I would have done had it not been for my family.
While Dewey's friend, Christina Beck, has been focusing on writing, Dewey ended up finding work in a different part of the business.
Doing some editing work. And then I was able to pick up some work doing acquisitions for Indie Rights Movies, which is an independent film distribution company with whom I've had a long relationship. Distribution was one part of the industry that saw an uptick because everybody was staying home watching movies. And there was a great need for content.
Cinematographer Mario Contini didn't have to wait too long after the shutdown to find work, though he did have to get creative with PPE.
I think last we spoke, I mentioned how I was trying to expand on my creativity a little bit and explore other areas of production. Well, it was shortly after I was collaborating with my friend AJ from the band Saint Motel, and the label came to us and they said, hey, we want you to do the next music video, but it needs to be COVID safe. And so we brainstormed a few ideas and we thought, you know, let's kind of make this like a Janet Jackson dance video and put it in this like post-apocalyptic industrial world, get background dancers, and we could put the PPE directly in the video. And so we got the LA Roller Girls to come on board and we put them in these like all black leather suits with bedazzled masks and plastic face shields on. It kind of appears a little ridiculous at first, but it totally works because it fits the environment and it's so relevant for our time.
Writer's room assistant Matt McCree was already struggling to find work when the pandemic hit, but things started to turn around for him in the fall.
One of my old bosses from Mr. Robot gave me a call in September and brought me on the show he's currently working on. It's a Marvel Disney Plus show called Secret Invasion, and I've been working full-time on that since then. It's been fantastic to be working full-time on a TV show again.
The job also came with a promotion. He's now the showrunner's assistant. But
unfortunately, the week I was hired, my wife was let go from her job on a different show. So we're still a one-income family.
Costumer Monica Haynes had to wait out the spring and summer.
As far as during this time when I was out of work, the only kind of financial aid I received was through my unemployment benefits, which lapsed at the end of December. I haven't received any more since then. But since I have been working full time and I'm feeling very fortunate about that, I haven't had to have any more benefits sent to me. So I'm just very grateful that I've had a job during this time and I've been able to work safely.
Once she did find work, there were new procedures in place.
I was working out of costume houses, and the costume houses were taking the protocols pretty seriously. We would have to be daily tested, and then they would temperature check us there before we were able to pull from the costume houses. We would get a wristband, and that's how we were identified throughout the building as people that did actually get checked prior to coming in.
Actor David Saucedo's year was a bit of a roller coaster.
I did work a little bit right when this thing broke. Right in March, I was working on a short film called Worry Dolls, which I completed. And then I didn't work for a while. And then I only worked on one other project.
He did, however, try his hand at something new.
I did pick up writing, and I'm really super excited about some of the stuff I wrote. Here comes a shameless plug, guys. I'm working, currently working on a script set in Mexico City in the 60s. Latino characters, obviously. Super excited about that.
When it came to covering the bills, stimulus payments were a helpful boost, but many people still needed more assistance. Saucedo turned to his side business, selling vinyl and vintage items online to make some much-needed extra cash. He also took out special loans.
I got a loan from First Entertainment Credit Union and one from the SAG-AFTRA Credit Union with really great rates, actually. That's kind of what I ended up doing as far as, you know, getting any kind of type of financial aid. But I was real happy to get that, obviously.
Matt McCree also leaned into his industry and small business connections.
I got a small grant that came from a group that later merged with the Actors Fund and is still helping Hollywood assistants who need it. And because of the number of 1099 jobs that I was taking in a year, I was eligible for a small SBA loan, which helped keep my wife and I afloat before I found work. It was presented as a loan that won't be forgiven, but still got my fingers crossed. Either way, the interest rate is very low and the principal wasn't that much, so I'm not very worried about paying it off.
As to where they're physically working, Matt McCree is full-time remote for now.
Pre-production on my show is just gearing up, but filming hasn't started yet, so I've not been to set. We're all working remotely, and we have our writer's room and other meetings via Zoom. So basically, I don't leave the house for work.
And does a writer's room work on Zoom?
I think it's proven itself a tool that can be used for writer's rooms, but doesn't necessarily have to. I mean, some people like the feeling, the back and forth, the actually being in a physical room with the other writers, and some people like not having to live in LA. So I can see Zoom hanging around for a while, but I think the industry is going to be pretty different from here on out.
As an actor, David Saucedo has had a hybrid remote and in-person experience.
In October, I shot a national commercial. The audition was online. The callback was online. Then at the fitting, we had a COVID-compliant officer. At the rehearsal, there was a COVID-compliant officer. And also, obviously, the day of the shoot. And I was a little worried, I'll be honest with you, about working on set, but they were super good about it. They had the zone system set up. Everything was very, very well done, and I felt very safe. And obviously, at some point, I do have to remove my mask when they say action. But I felt good, and it was a great crew and a great experience, and I felt very safe with that.
You might just catch Saucedo in that commercial. It's for an investment and insurance company.
Voya doesn't just help me get to retirement. They're with me all the way through it.
Come on, Grandpa!
Later. Got Grandpa things to do.
But for the moment, Saucedo is taking a step back from acting, largely because he still doesn't feel safe taking the offers that have come his way.
I've been getting offers to audition for, you know, series regular, reoccurring characters, guest stars, and a lot of the stuff films out of town. And luckily, my agent and my managers are very understanding that I don't feel comfortable traveling. So I've turned down a lot of opportunities. Those things, you know, you try to grab them when they come. But hopefully, as things start ramping up, those opportunities will still come my way. So I'm going to be very optimistic and put that out in the universe.
Costumer Monica Haynes opted to take a job out of state. It's for a movie, but she can't say which one quite yet.
Unfortunately, I can't mention what film it is because of non-disclosure agreements. And I am still currently working on that film. I am working out of state, and we are taking the COVID protocols again here very seriously. I am working in a state that is not necessarily following those rules, however, which is very unsettling to see people walking around without masks, eating in restaurants as if the COVID had never happened. And so I essentially try to avoid those places as much as possible.
Right now, Haynes is still in pre-production, but regardless of the state guidelines where she is, once they start shooting, she'll be putting on multiple layers of PPE.
We have been told that we do need to be fully covered. We do need to wear face masks, facial shields, and also gloves and gowns when we do the fittings, disposable gloves that we will be getting rid of in between fittings of each person. We have COVID monitors who will be spraying out the dressing rooms as well as the high-touch surfaces. We are continuing to get tested twice a week. That's been going on since I started on this production at the beginning of the year. And that's true for everyone, including the extras.
Cinematographer Mario Contini also has to mask up for work.
I'm quite happy with the extensive precautions that have been taken so that we can continue to work. And not only that, but in a safe environment. I mean, I don't mind showing up to set an hour early. But other than that, you know, wearing a mask all day is definitely difficult. You're typically going home with a headache, especially multiple days in a row. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the time that we can go to set and be breathing in normal air again. You know, usually there's someone that is handing out hand sanitizer, and we do have sanitizing stations. There's a COVID officer on set. So the comfort level working, though, right now is quite high. Like, I feel very comfortable and overall just very happy to be working. So, like, whatever we need to do to keep everything safe, I'm game for.
One thing everyone mentioned, the pandemic has given them time to think about how the industry has changed. Filmmakers Christina Beck and Beth Dewey are optimistic.
As far as the business goes, I think it will be forever changed, and that's a great thing. Breaking down old systems, creating space for better representation, new faces, new voices, more inclusion. This opportunity is a long time coming, and I'm really excited to see where film and television goes from here.
If I were to look at the pandemic in a glass half full kind of way, it's for me been a creative incubator. I have a couple projects in development. I'm collaborating with people, and I don't know that we would have had time to cultivate that had it not been for the pandemic. I doubt the industry will ever return to the way it was before the pandemic. In distribution, for example, we will probably see a hybrid of in-person and virtual film markets now. And also, I think, you know, now that it's proven that we can work remotely, that genie is out of the bottle, and I don't think it's going to go back in.
For people who have to be on set, actor David Saucedo urges caution.
I think overall, the industry really has to kind of take it slow and kind of, you know, be careful how they ramp things up. Obviously, we all want to work. But I do know plenty of people that work in the industry that have gotten sick and have gotten COVID. So take it slow. And I really think that maybe something should stay in place, especially craft service. You know, you think about everybody, you know, running around, touching all that stuff. So maybe they can kind of rework how they do the craft service.
And costumer Monica Haynes and cinematographer Mario Contini have had to learn to adjust their on-the-job expectations.
I don't think that the industry will ever be the same after this. I think we are going to be in a real different place. There's a lot more awareness just of physical space. We tend to be very close contact with the people that we dress. And so we're going to really have to just learn how to do that safely for us and for them.
Something that I find kind of interesting is that, you know, everyone in production knows what it's like those last few moments before you roll the camera and everything's dialed in perfectly. And then all of a sudden it's the fan and there's like a lamp that starts flickering in the background. So you got electric running in. And then you hear that like someone from the agency doesn't like the color of the bed sheets. So then you got art department running in. And then there's like batteries drop out on the lavalier mic. And so like you've got simultaneously got everybody working at the same time because nobody wants to be the one responsible for any sort of holdup. Now, what's funny is that like since COVID happened, the pace on set has changed dramatically. And like you physically cannot be in the same space as someone else. And what I take from that is that, you know, we've become more observers on set when it's not our time and place to have a field. And I think if anything, what we will take from this time in the past year is that I think we have a greater respect for our crew and the craft, and understanding that quality takes time.
Finally, we asked this group about their thoughts about going back to the movies as a viewer.
Once this is over and I'm free to be able to go and see movies again, I really don't know if I will be going to a movie theater. I've gotten used to seeing things online through streaming networks, and that actually has been working out a lot more, as well as saving some money.
I haven't been to theaters or even restaurants in the past year, and I don't really plan to until most everyone's been vaccinated. I'd really rather be safe than sorry in regards to COVID. That said, my wife and I did just rent Raya and the Last Dragon on Disney Plus and really enjoyed watching it from the comfort of our couch. So, you know, same day digital releases might actually be another way in which the industry is changing that sticks around.
I've not been in a movie theater. I don't plan on doing that. And that's a big thing for me because my wife and I really love going to the movies. And we also love going to film festivals. I mean, you know, a lot of movies and a lot of days, and the shared experience and the community you get from being at festivals, you know, talking to other actors, meeting folks. But it's going to be a while before I go back to a movie theater for sure. I'm not comfortable with that just yet. It'll be at least a year before I think of going to a movie.
Although I think we've all become quite comfortable, you know, next to the fireplace on our big plush couches with wine bottles within reaching distance, but I think we can all relate to the fact that, like, there is no experience like the movie theater experience. And if I look at what drove me to get into this industry, it was the magic of being in the theater, you know, with the sound wrapping around your head and cinematography and large screen and, like, feeling the energy of the audience in the room. It's just something that cannot be replicated at home. And although I miss it a bunch, I will admit that I'm probably not going to be the first one to jump back into the theater. It's going to take me a little bit until I feel comfortable doing that again.
I personally have not been to a movie theater in a year. I don't know anyone in LA who has, actually. I heard that there was movie theaters open in San Diego at one point where we were going to drive, but you know, we just ended up going to a drive-in, which was an hour and a half away. I'm not sure which film I'm going to watch, like when the theaters finally open. I just know that more than anything, I crave that collective experience of watching a movie. And I can't wait to share that with humanity once again.
I have not been to a movie theater. Really miss it. I've been to a few drive-ins. And, you know, there's just something magical about sitting in a dark theater with a friend or complete strangers and knowing for the next 2 hours, I am going to be taking in some new world, some place where my mood and my whole outlook on life can change. It's a safe place to decompress and to escape. And it's the reason I became a filmmaker, is to be a part of that magic. And I miss it, and I can't wait to go back.
That was Monica Haynes, Matt McCree, David Saucedo, Mario Contini, Beth Dewey, and Christina Beck. A huge thank you to them for taking the time to share their stories with us again. And that's The Business. Caitlin Parker produced and edited today's program with help this week from Kat Yore. Paul Smith mixed the show. You can stream The Business as well as other great KCRW podcasts on the KCRW app. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business.